This is Digital Story Podcast number 871, November 29th, 2022. Today's theme is The Secret Lives of Photographers. I'm Derek Story. It's true, we love our cameras, taking pictures, and hanging beautiful images on the wall. We are photographers. But many visual artists are also talented in other areas of creative expression. I've learned this over the years during casual conversations and workshops and conferences, and many times I've been impressed with the revelations. This week's podcast is dedicated to the secret artistic lives of photographers. I hope you enjoy the show. So this is really fun. You know, last week on the Nimble Photographer newsletter, which I run on Substack, I reached out to our community of photographers, which is well over 1,000, and said, okay, what else do you like to do? Right? I mean, that was the bottom line. And, you know, it was focused on creatively. What else do you like to do? What are you doing that we don't know about that you would like to share? And so I created these polls for them where they could just check a box and then also allowed for comments. So if there was something that wasn't in the polls, but they thought was interesting, they could put it in the comments. And this was illuminating. And for a couple reasons, I'll tell you. First of all, photography as an art form, which I think most of us believe it is, really encompasses all sorts of things. You know, it encompasses understanding light and color and composition. It also encompasses a certain amount of mobility. You have to be able to get out and move around, most of us anyway, unless you're just a macro photographer in your backyard. And even then you got to bend over, right? There's still that. You know, it's just this thing. But I think even beyond that, photography requires both sides of the brain, in my opinion. You know, there's the creative side, you know, so that's the part where we're composing and trying to tell a story. And then there's the technical side where we're trying to manage your camera. Now, granted, the technical side hasn't been as big a factor in the last few years, thanks to the advances in computational photography and how smarter cameras have become, but it's still a factor. It's still a factor. I'm still very technical when I'm taking pictures with my Micro Four Thirds camera or my Pentax or my Fujifilm. There is definitely that side of it, even though maybe it's not as big a side as it used to be. You know, that makes me think, well, here we are. Photographers are unique creatures in that we are really functioning in all these different areas inside our noggin. And that led me to thinking, well, what else do they do? Right? You know, this type of person isn't just going to be limited to taking pictures. And if you are, that's not a knock at all, because photography is at the top of my list and at the top of many lists in our audience. However, I always suspected that we had a bunch of resident artists who did other things. And so I wanted to find out. I wanted to find out what's going on. And even in my case, that's true. Those of you who read me on Medium or who have read my books know that writing is a big part of my life. And actually, I graduated an English major, and my design stuff was my minor. So you could even say that I'm a writer first and a photographer second. I don't know. It's hard. I guess it depends on the day. But then I also have a few hidden things too, or not so hidden anymore after doing podcasts for over 10 years. Anything that would be hidden has been revealed pretty much. However, I do love music. I do love playing the guitar, and I really enjoy songwriting. So that is another part of my life. And so if I were filling out the survey as a reader, I would probably list songwriting and musical instrument as two of my passions outside of photography. Let's get to what these folks are up to, because it's really kind of fun. And again, this is all on the Nimble Photographer newsletter. I know many of you are subscribed. It's weekly. It's every Thursday. It's free. And, you know, we have thousands and thousands of people in the podcast audience, and we have well over 1,000 in the newsletter audience. That means a lot of people listening still haven't subscribed. That's okay. I'm just saying that if you want to get in on this stuff, it's a fun place to hang out. It doesn't cost you anything. And there's a link to the newsletter in the show notes. Surprise, surprise, right? Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you the top six that people did off the poll, going from the most popular to the sixth most popular. All right. The very first one, I'm not surprised by this at all. Playing a musical instrument was at the top of the list, and pretty much overwhelmingly so. So this is the number one most popular secret artistic thing, probably not so secret if you play a musical instrument, because people hear you, right? People in the other room hear you and sometimes ask you to take it down a notch. Playing a musical instrument is really a joyous thing, because when everything else kind of goes in the crapper, you can sit down with whatever you play, in my case, guitar, piano, banjo, violin, whatever it happens to be, and just fall into that. And it is so relaxing and just takes you to a different place. So I totally get that. So that's the top of the list, playing a musical instrument. Number two, writing short form essays and articles. And so writing was number two on the list. That does surprise me just a bit. You know, we had all sorts of things on the list. We had actually three lists so that you could vote in different categories and so forth. But writing was the number two thing. And I thought that was pretty cool. Number three does surprise me. Graphic arts. Now, I had to do graphic arts for a stretch early in my career, because there were times when getting photography jobs were hard or they didn't pay very much. And writing gigs, of course, were very difficult when you're starting out. But I could always get a job as a graphic artist. So I worked in graphic arts production departments for all sorts of folks. And, you know, we took the writing and we took the pictures and we took all that stuff. And then we made whatever they asked us to make. Brochures, newsletters, magazines. You know, we did it all. Ads, the whole deal. And graphic arts was number three on our list. Now, when you stop and think about it, it makes sense for a photographer to be involved in graphic arts as well, because that's sort of the next step in any sort of publication process. But nonetheless, I was a little surprised by that, given all the other things that they had to choose from. Number four, painting. I have a very high respect for people who can paint, because that is one skill. And when I was a design minor in college, I did illustration and I did design and those sort of things, but I always struggled with painting. Painting just never came naturally to me. And you'd think, well, if you can illustrate, if you could draw a portrait with a charcoal pencil, you should be able to paint. No, that is not true. And painters will be the first to tell you that. Probably a lot of charcoal pencil illustrators will tell you that as well. So painting is number four, and boy, people who can both paint and are good at photography, that's really nice. That's pretty cool stuff. So painting is number four. Number five is songwriting. Wow, there are a lot of songs out there that we haven't heard, and I bet you some of them are really good. You know, I'm just thinking about this and just thinking, wow, if we have that many songwriters out there writing songs, you know, and they've written more than one, some of them are going to be, you know, their favorite songs that they've written. And you take all those favorite songs that have been written in our audience and you go, man, I bet you there's some good music out there. And then it's mind-boggling to think about how much good music is out there that no one has heard or only a small group has heard. you know, just, you know, local friends, maybe a local nightclub, that kind of stuff. So I was going, that's pretty cool that we have that many songwriters. Number five in our list is songwriting. And then number six is drafting. It's drafting. Wow. Now, in high school, I loved drafting. First of all, it was just neat. You walk into the drafting classroom, and it was unlike any other classroom, except maybe the only one that I thought was as cool and unique as drafting were the science labs. The science labs were really neat, too. I love those. But you walk into the drafting classroom with all the drafting tables and all the tools and the smell of, I don't know what it is. Was it pencils that we smelled in there? I mean, it was a good smell. So I know it's high school and all that, but it was a good smell. And I think it was like pencils and stuff. You got to work with cool paper. That was really my first introduction to really cool paper that we used for drafting. And then the variety of pencils. And my attraction to drafting is really what led to me later on to getting involved in pencil drawings, you know, portraits and freelance stuff, not necessarily, you know, the very specific and precise art of drafting. Drafting as number six, I am truly impressed. And all of you out there that who are still drafting, I imagine many of you are using computer programs now, but any of you that are still using a drafting table and the analog tools, right? Hats off to you. And in fact, right now, I am sitting at a drafting table. This is one thing I've hung on to over the years. I still have a T-square. I still have a couple triangles. I still have my compass. I still have a lot of the tools just because I like them so much. But I am actually at a drafting table right now. That was fun stuff. I really enjoyed the poll. Then on top of that, I go, okay, even though I'm thinking of all these different things, I'm not going to think of everything because it's just not possible. So I put an other category and I let people check that box. And a lot of people did. And then if they wanted to, they could, in the comments, say what those other activities were. And I thought you might be interested in some of these. Again, super impressive. I just love this audience that we have here. Alrighty. Here's the first one. This one's from Barb. Tapestry weaving is a great addition to photography. They are both about images, but the tactile nature of working with yarn has a fulfillment all its own. They both use color and light, but the visualizations are wonderfully different and complementary. Isn't that cool? Tapestry weaving. All right. So we have at least one of those in our audience, and I suspect more. Here's another one. Here's Evelyn. Watercolor, ukulele, weaving, spinning, and knitting are my things besides photography. Honestly, wouldn't you love to hang out with Evelyn? I would, right? Watercolor, ukulele. Oh my gosh, that's cool. Weaving, spinning, and knitting. Going over to her place, I bet it's fun. Just the stuff that's laying around, hanging on the walls, all that. I bet that is a great place to have a cup of coffee. All right. So thanks, Evelyn, for contributing that. John said watercolor painting, graphic design, piano playing, all complement photography and each other. Watercolor is kind of showing up a few times here. So watercolor painting, which I consider, again, very difficult because, you know, the thing about watercolor is it's so beautiful. You know, the way they get that translucent quality to the color, isn't it neat? And the way sometimes the colors sort of overlap and do things. But I always had a hard time, quote unquote, controlling the color, right? So I would, you know, how wet do you get the paper? And oh my gosh. So my watercolors were more, shall I say, abstract than I cared for them to be. So when I see people who do watercolor that have that watercolor vibe to them, right? That beautiful watercolor vibe, but yet do not quite go into abstraction the same way that mine seem to. Again, very impressed. Thanks, John, for sharing those. Carl, this is Carl with a K, woodworking, wood turning, copper art, and driftwood art. Again, another cool place to go hang out. Wouldn't you say? Woodworking, wood turning, copper art, and driftwood art. I bet if Carl has like a back patio or something, don't you think that would be like one of the coolest places in the world to just put your feet up and see what's going on around you there? Those are wonderful. And then Carl with a C, I'm a furniture maker, 22 pieces in our home. 22 pieces, that is a lot of furniture, my friend. And it takes time to do these pieces. And a wood turner of both open and closed form vessels. I'd want to be in Carl with a K's back patio, hanging out, looking at all the stuff he has there. I want to see Carl with a C. I want to see his garage, right? If he's making 22 pieces of furniture, and, you know, he's made more. He's just got 22 in his house. If he's got all that going on, he's got some cool stuff going on in his garage. That would be the place I'd like to go at Carl's house. Jim adds, musically, I am primarily an organist and a pianist, but 6 years ago, at age 50, decided to teach myself bass guitar just to learn something new. For my full-time work, I'm a technical writer, but also enjoy some casual writing and blogging for fun. So that's a nice balance there. A little bit of music, a little bit of writing, photography mixed in. Good for you, Jim. The only thing about playing bass is, in my opinion, you need a drummer, you know, hanging around, or it's just not as fun. Clearly, we have a talented group here, and it's a lot of fun. And I know you have your hidden talents as well. And I just want to encourage you to share all of your talents with the world, your writing, your musical playing, your tapestry, your woodworking, in addition to your photography, because they're all expressions of, you know, who you are as an artist. And I just love it, just absolutely love it that we have such a talented audience and that they're willing to share their talents with us. Sony will supply Apple with advanced image sensor for the next iPhone. And this article is on Petapixel. You can read the entire article there. I have the link in the show notes. Here we go. Sony is set to provide Apple with a state-of-the-art image sensor for its next iPhone that will supposedly double the amount of light it can capture and give it the ability to clearly capture a face even in strong backlight. Nikkei Asia reports that it has learned that Sony will supply Apple and other smartphone makers with access to the new image sensor, which the company is producing in response to pressure from Samsung Electronics, which also makes smartphone sensors. So Sony's going to provide the sensor to other smartphone makers, but not Samsung, I'm guessing. That's just a wild guess there. According to the report, Sony's new image sensor doubles the saturation signal level in each pixel, which allows it to capture more light while also allowing it to reduce overexposure or underexposure in certain settings. As a result, the sensor is capable of not only better low light performance, but is better able to meter starkly different exposures, such as a face that is heavily backlit by the sun. At the time of the announcement and in that detailed presentation in February, Sony did not say when the new sensor would find its way into consumer devices or even when it is intended to manufacture the sensors at scale. Those questions appear to be answered now, though, as Sony is preparing to be able to provide for its use in smartphones that are expected to be released in the fall of 2023. Who releases smartphones in the fall? Okay, all right. The latest sensor on the iPhone 14 is already extremely impressive, so adding even more imaging prowess to the smartphone will no doubt further close the gap between standalone cameras and mobile devices. Well, we'll see how that goes. I am still holding out, by the way, with my iPhone 12. I have been so tempted by the 14. I mean, really. And when we were at the workshop, one of our workshop participants, Steve, had a 14, and he let me take pictures with it, let me play with it for a bit. And then we compared them to the iPhone 12, and yes, you could see a difference. You could see more detail was the main thing that I saw in certain areas, certain textures. However, my thinking at the end of the day was that I'm usually not comparing iPhone 14 pictures to my 12 pictures, and I'm just looking at my 12 pictures, which seem really good. So I go, I just want to hang out just a little while longer, one more. And but it was hard because Apple was giving really good trade-in values for the iPhone 12 Pro Max, which is what I have. However, now Apple has made it easier for me because now they have reduced the trade-in value of the iPhone 12 Pro Max. They've taken it down. Now my decision is a little bit easier to just, you know, stick with the 12 and see what happens with the next iPhone. And who knows, maybe it will have this new Sony sensor in it. I don't know. Wait and see. But I will probably be ready then for a new phone. But I have to tell you, my 12 Pro Max is a darn good camera. I can wait a little bit longer, but not too much longer. Canon's new Pro webcam software costs as much as just buying a capture card. And you can read this entire article on The Verge. It felt like companies were offering some goodwill during the pandemic when they released free software that allowed a camera you already own to work as a webcam. But now Canon's looking for some of that sweet reoccurring subscription revenue. A new update to its EOS webcam utility software adds a bunch of new features, but only as part of a new pro tier that costs $5 per month or $50 per year. Opting to pay gets you new features like streaming up to 5 cameras at once via USB, wireless single camera streaming, 60 frames per second support, finer controls for custom scene profiles, watermark insertion, control of your camera settings via the UI, and some further granular tweaks. While much of that sounds nice and may make for a better experience when using the EOS webcam utility, the pro version tops out at just 1080p, and the free tier is still stuck at 720p. That seems a little paltry for a paid service utilizing a variety of cameras capable of outputting 4K via their HDMI ports. Then the writer goes on. This is kind of fun. Look, I get it. Camera companies are thirsty for recurring revenue streams just like everyone else. And normally their only source is a pro service program like Canon Professional Services. But while some of these new features added to Canon's webcam software seem nifty, I can't shake the fact that the basic capture cards are really cheap now, and 2 years of the service costs about as much as buying an Elgato Camlink 4K for yourself, which supports the same 1080p, 60p, and even goes up to 4K resolution without a subscription. It's a relief to see Canon will maintain their free tier for owners who just want the basics and can't be bothered to buy additional hardware for streaming. Yes, you can get more cool streaming functions, but it will cost you a subscription of $5 a month or $50 per year. Now, one of the things that I'll add to this, this is kind of related to the story, is that when I was recording the photos for macOS Ventura update for LinkedIn Learning, one of the things I was playing with is the continuity camera function of my iPhone, using it as a webcam for my Mac, for my iMac. And you have to have the latest software. So you have to have a Ventura on the iMac, and you have to have iOS 16 or 16.1 on the phone. When you do that, then they just sort of recognize each other. And that camera is really cool. And one of the things that it allows you to do is use portrait mode on the camera, or the features of portrait mode on the camera for your webcam streaming. It's totally wireless. You know, again, they just see each other, and it works so well that on my little webcam mount here, where I have an Olympus camera right now that I use for most of my streaming, but the mount that I use for it allows, you know, two mounts, two cameras. So I put a mount on there for the iPhone to use it as an alternate webcam if I want. So if one goes down, or I don't like the look of one, or I need something a little wider or more narrow or whatever, I can go to the other one. So now I have these options, and it doesn't cost me anything. I just, you know, all the software is free. It's pretty neat what's going on with some of the webcam stuff. The reason why I bring that up is because that doesn't cost anything other than you have to own the hardware. I totally get what Canon's doing here. And, you know, Canon was one of the ones that stepped up to the plate during the pandemic and gave us free webcam software. I thank them for that. We'll see what happens with this subscription model. Just want to touch on our 2023 TDS Photography Workshop lineup. We've got a good one for next year. We actually start our first online workshop this week. This Wednesday, we start our online printing workshop. That one's sold out, and it's going to be so much fun. I've got guest speakers. I've got so many goodies. And we start that on Wednesday, and I am going to try to squeeze another one of those in somewhere during the year. And then we have another one scheduled for the end of 2023, but I'll try to fit one in there. But in addition to the online printing workshop, we've got Maximizing Your Micro Four Thirds Camera. We're going to do that in February. The Ultimate Black and White Photography Online Workshop in April. Point Reyes In-Person Photography Workshop in May. And Point Reyes is an amazing place. So many different things for us to work with there. Infrared Photography Online in July. Sedona, Arizona In-Person Photography Workshop in October. And then Wine Country in Autumn In-Person Photography Workshop in November. That is a great lineup. And then we're going to have one more printing workshop after Wine Country next year, and then I'll try to sandwich one in. And I'm going to, write me if you're interested in this, but I'm thinking about doing a Capture One Pro online workshop in 2023 too, just because there are a lot of new things. The iPad version's out. There's all sorts of stuff going on with it. They just released 23. So if you're interested in that, drop me a line and dstory@gmail.com. And if I get folks writing me about it, then I'll try to fit that in too. All right, it'd be a lot of fun. So lots of good stuff. The link to our workshops page is in the show notes, or just go to thenimblephotographer.com. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. Nimble Photographer newsletter every Thursday. That's where we got all this great stuff for this week's podcast. Link to it in the show notes. You never know what you're going to see in that newsletter. I shake it up every week. Reviews, polls, just fun. It's just fun stuff. And if you're not subscribed, you should, because don't you want to have fun as well? We all want to have some fun, don't we? All right. Big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the ones that support our podcast and our efforts month in and month out. We have a new Inner Circle member again this week, Richard. Thank you, Richard, for joining us. I met Richard for the first time in Oregon. He joined our photography workshop, and now he is an Inner Circle member, which means, I believe, that everyone at the workshop, because we've got two new Inner Circle members there, everyone at the workshop except for one person was an Inner Circle member. Five came that way, two signed up. That's pretty cool stuff. You can learn more about becoming an Inner Circle member by just clicking on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of Digital Story. A big thanks to them for helping support this podcast and for supporting our community as a whole. I haven't mentioned for a while our donation kit for carefree shipping of found film cameras. If you got a film camera, tucked away somewhere. You're not using it. You just discovered it in the back of the closet and you go, I would like to find a good home for this camera. Then just go to The Nimble Photographer. Use the contact form there. Let me know what you have. We have a category for the film cameras. And if it's something that I can refurbish and clean up and put in the shop, I will send you a donation kit that includes the box, the prepaid label. All you've got to do is just tape it up, put it outside, and have your postal carrier pick it up, and you can help get that camera in the hands of an aspiring film photographer, and it will make everyone happy. Everyone happy. And thank you to those who have donated in recent history. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. They're the folks that support the printing community, and they are helping us with our workshop. Drew is going to be a guest speaker during our workshop the third week. And so we are going to get to hear from a printing expert during our online printing workshop. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I get to work with Drew as part of the sponsorship for the podcast, but now other folks are going to get to hang out with him as well. And they will see why I'm so happy about having Red River Paper as a sponsor. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. Click on it, take you to our landing page. And they have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/Red River Paper. And a huge thanks to them for supporting our community. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Come back and join us. Until then, be safe, be creative, take pictures, and do your other creative things. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.